Have you ever had a family member or friend ask you to lend them money? Talk about being put on the spot. Hi, I'm Rob West. It's a tough situation to be in, and you should think and pray about it before deciding whether to lend or not. Today, I'll give you some advice from God's Word to guide you, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's probably safe to say that being asked to lend money makes people uncomfortable. It's often a big decision that has consequences no matter how it turns out. When you lend money to another, it changes the relationship. Proverbs 22:7 reads, "The borrower becomes slave to the lender." Lending money can hurt a relationship, and that can happen whether you lend the money or not. You're between a rock and a hard place, and it seems like either way, someone may end up resentful. There are really only three things that can happen, and only one of them is good. If you decide not to lend the money, the other person could be upset. If you do lend the money and the other person doesn't repay it, you'll probably be upset. It's only the third possibility that makes everyone happy. You lend the money and the borrower pays it back. But consider carefully why they asked to borrow in the first place. They may not be able to repay the loan if they're already in bad shape financially for whatever reason. Fortunately, the Bible has much to say about this predicament. First, God's Word tells us to help those in need, lending money if necessary. Deuteronomy 15:8 says, "You shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be." Turning to the New Testament and the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:42, Jesus says, "Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." And finally, a verse that might make you think the only proper response is to lend money to a family member in particular is 1 Timothy 5:8, which reads, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." So do those verses mean you always have to lend money when asked? Not at all. They imply two things. First, that there must truly be a need. And second, that lending the money would actually help the borrower and not simply allow that person to make more unwise financial decisions. Here, Scripture has more to say. Proverbs 13:11 warns about one possible outcome with lending money. It reads, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it." Getting a loan is often the easy way out. Maybe the borrower tells you the loan would be a lifeline, which it may be. But it's also easy money, and the borrower may not appreciate the effort it takes to create that wealth. When you have to work hard for something, you tend to want to hold on to it. Hard work produces character and wisdom. Proverbs 21:20 reads, "Precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it." So before you go get out the checkbook, think carefully about whether there's a real need. You also have to be sure that lending the money will actually help the borrower. Here are some questions you can ask yourself. Can the borrower repay the loan? If there's not sufficient income or ability, promises to repay will come to nothing. Then ask, what shape will you be in if the money isn't repaid? If you can't afford to lose it, then you can't afford to lend it. Then ask, can you help in another way? If the person needs money to repair a car, for example, could you give rides to work until they've saved enough for repairs? And last, ask yourself, can you make the money a gift instead of a loan? That way you're not expecting it to be paid back, so you can't be disappointed and your relationship won't suffer. But again, only do that if you can afford it and the gift doesn't encourage more financial mismanagement. Finally, if you do decide to lend the money, draw up a written agreement, even if you're lending to a family member. When something's in writing, it clarifies things and makes it known who's responsible for what and when. The loan agreement should specify the amount, interest rate if any, payment structure, and collateral. That will help eliminate misunderstandings later on. You can find lots of promissory note templates online, just fill in the blanks. Oh, one final thought, if you end up lending the money, make preserving the relationship your priority. Be prepared to forgive the loan if it keeps the relationship intact. debt, but that's only possible if you have the ability to lose it in the first place. So those are some things to consider before lending money to a family member or friend based on the counsel from God's Word. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Do you remember road trips before we all had GPS in our phones or even in our cars? There was a sense of excitement to it, and that came from never being completely sure that you were going to arrive at your destination without a couple of wrong turns. At least, that's my experience. Sometimes my GPS takes me to the wrong place, too. But how can we be sure there won't be a detour in our relationship with the Lord? Will Jesus ever steer us wrong? Thankfully, one of the most beautiful promises in all the Bible is found in Psalm 148. This God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. Our Savior will take us all the way home. Get started with Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Amy Carmichael was a missionary in India, rescuing little girls from abuse. In her 50-plus years of ministry, she witnessed the transforming power of the Bible.
Sorrowful people are comforted. People who were in the dark walk in the light. Is it not wonderful to think that this book is in our hands today?
Bert Harper and Alex McFarlane explore the wonders of the Bible, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Welcome to Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. We'd also love to hear your testimonies, your stories of God's faithfulness in your life financially. You know, often we fail to invite God into our financial lives through prayer. We will, in many cases, even rob God of the opportunity of providing for us by pulling out the plastic. You know, I've counseled so many families that prior to understanding God's view of handling money, they will take a situation that's challenging, like being extended beyond their means, perhaps having run up a significant amount of debt. And rather than saying, God, we just don't have enough means to cover our bills, they continue to fund their expenses through credit rather than just trusting God to provide. And often when we're in that desperate situation of needing to trust God, it's amazing how God will provide even through other people with a knock at the door, somebody that stops you at church. So let me just encourage you to invite God into your financial life. No matter where you find yourself, in a season of difficulty or perhaps a season of surplus, whatever it is, ask God to be a part of your finances, because at the end of the day, we have to understand it all belongs to him. And so we're the manager of the master's resources. He's promised to provide for our needs. And so we want to trust him in that and be able to handle his money according to his wisdom. Of course, that's found in God's word. All right, let's take your phone calls today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. Let's begin in Texas. I understand, Ray, you have a comment on where we started today related to lending to family and friends. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Throughout my life, I've never really loaned money. I've always thought that if I have money to loan, then I have money to give. So if I don't have enough money to loan, So if I have the money to loan, I just go ahead and make it a gift.
Make it a gift.
And we've adopted that in our life, my wife and I.
Yeah, I like that a lot, Ray, because here's what you're doing is you're recognizing that when you make a loan, you're changing the relationship, which if it doesn't work out, even despite the best intentions of the borrower, if they're unable to repay, that could result in a damaged relationship. And so you're saying, listen, if I'm in a position to be able to help and God leads me to do so, I'm just going to make it a gift. And then there's no strings attached and we can preserve the relationship and I'm able to bless somebody. How has that worked out? Tell me kind of how you've seen that play out in the lives of those you've been able to bless through your giving.
Well, I mean, you know, we've been helped ourselves, you know, with the gift too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think it's because that we are willing to give also.
Sure.
And one of the things you said too, it's not worth losing a friendship or a family member over. Yeah. And so that's why I choose to give, because if the, I mean, even if I loaned, I have loaned people and not got pretty good amounts too.
Yes.
But I've still gotten, I got over it. Hey, you know what? I'm not losing no friends or family over money.
Well, it's a great point, and you're exactly right. You know, I'll go back to Proverbs 22:7. The borrower becomes the slave to the lender. So the bottom line is lending can hurt a relationship, and what an opportunity to bless the people in our lives as we're able to do so. And when the Lord leads us through an outright gift, whether that's a gift on the front end or whether that's you going into a lending opportunity, knowing at least in your mind and in your heart that if this person is unable to repay, I'm just going to go ahead and make it a gift and formalize that. Let them know that there's now no expectation to pay. This is now a gift, whether you do it then or at the initial outset. But what a blessing to be able to serve God's people in that way. Ray, I love that. We appreciate you being a part of the program today, sir. God bless you. 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. Let's head to Arkansas. Hi, Ann. You're next on Faith and Finance. Go ahead.
Hello. My question is about FDIC insurance.
Yeah.
If a person has multiple CDs at the same bank and the total is more than $250,000, is some of that not insured?
That is correct. So here's the way that works, Ann. It is by bank. And it's by ownership category. So if those CDs are titled in the same way, held as an individual in your name, or they're all held jointly in the name of, let's say, you and your husband, you would have $250,000 per person. So for instance, if you had a CD worth $250,000 at one bank, that would be fully protected. And let's say on top of that, you had a CD that was titled jointly, well, then you and your husband could each have another $250,000, because that's a different ownership category. So technically you could have $750,000 in coverage, because you would get $250,000 on your individual CD, and then you get another $250,000 as a part of that joint CD, and then he could get $250,000 as well. So it comes down to per person, per ownership category, and those would be things like single account is a ownership category, joint account is an ownership category, and a revocable trust is yet another ownership category. Does that make sense?
Yes. So if all of the CDs are joint, it's $500,000 instead of $250,000?
Yes, you would each have $250,000 worth of coverage between the two of you, so you could go up to $5,000 on a joint account.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
You are very welcome. You know, this is a topic that obviously is on the minds of folks more than ever right now because of what we saw happen last week with Silicon Valley Bank, and just really fascinating. You know, we had a chance to talk about it yesterday. We certainly can spend some more time on it, but, you know, we know that easy money has created a situation where a lot of businesses, especially those in a high growth sector, were relying on these near zero interest rates for a long, long time. Obviously, as that has gone away and the Fed has been hiking rapidly, that's resulted in some cracks in the system, particularly in these high growth areas. That's certainly affected the startup venture capital community, but also with the cryptos. And we've seen that play out. Government, of course, coming in with a backstop. We could argue whether that's the right move or not. Regardless of where we would come out, it did provide some confidence into making sure folks felt like their deposits were safe, and that's why we've seen the market respond the way it has. But we've got bigger issues to solve for long term. But nevertheless, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, and the protection it affords is playing itself out the way it was intended to in the midst of what's going on right now. And we certainly appreciate that. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Al in Winston-Salem. Go right ahead, sir.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hey there. How are you?
How can
today?
I help you? I'm doing great.
So, I have a big question that has been bothering me all of my life.
Okay.
I am 74 years old, senior citizen. I still work every day trying to make ends meet. My question is, why do I still have to pay taxes all of my life? I've been paying taxes since I was 16 years old. I feel like senior citizens who has worked all of their lives, has helped build America, is just like the armed forces.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do this, Al. I want to be able to weigh in on that and continue to hear your thoughts. I've got to take a quick break. You hold the line. We'll talk more about this just around the corner. Stay with us.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade,
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got a couple of lines open for your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. No matter what you're thinking about financially, we'd love to get in on the conversation, be able to apply the wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions today. Or if you have a story of how God has provided for you as you've applied these principles, we'd love to hear that as well. 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Al in Winston-Salem, and Al was lamenting the fact that he's paid in taxes his whole life since he was a worker at the age of 16, and he's wondering why that needs to continue as he's now in his 70s earning Social Security. Al, unfortunately, there is no age at which someone is exempt from taxes. I will say, generally, if Social Security benefits were your only income, your benefits are not taxable. Single filers have to file a return when their taxable income is over $14,700 this year, 2023. Married filing jointly, if one spouse is older than 65, the threshold is $27,300. If both are over 65, it would be $28,700. Seniors are entitled to a higher standard deduction. So if you're 65 or older, your standard deduction increases by $1,700. If you're married filing jointly, that would increase by $1,350 if you have one spouse over 65. So I realize if you're still working, you're likely above that threshold, and that means that you are, in fact, still paying taxes. And I understand your frustration there, Al.
Thank you.
All right. Is that helpful to you, though?
Oh, yeah. It's, you're right. It is frustrating to just have to accept the fact that there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
You know, I pay taxes until I go see my father in heaven. Right?
That's right. And the good news is taxes are symptomatic of income. So we're paying taxes as God provides. And so we realize that God has given us the governing authorities. Clearly, he's asked us to respect that by paying the taxes that we owe, not anymore, but the taxes that we owe. And we enjoy incredible benefits living here in this country, despite the fact that we might wish our tax dollars were used perhaps in different ways in certain contexts, but we certainly appreciate your call today, sir, and for your faithful obedience to the Lord over a long, long time. Thanks for being a part of the program. 800-525-7000. We've got one line open. Let's head to Tennessee. Hi, Jenny. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Good morning. I am, I'm not sure where to start. My mom passed away recently, and I'm okay. Probably going to get about $10,000 after tithe and offering.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, can I put it into my retirement fund to avoid paying taxes on it?
Well, you won't pay taxes on an inheritance, so this is not going to be taxed at the federal level.
It's stocks. It's
okay.
Stocks that you have to sell.
Okay, but what happens with stocks, as long as they're passed as an inheritance, the basis on those stocks would be stepped up, which just means that the regardless of what price your mom purchased them at, the new cost basis for these stocks is as of the date of death. So the only time you would pay tax is if the price of the stock increased from the date of death. And of course, if this is, you know, traded on an exchange, the price is changing all day, every day that the stock market is open. So I realize there's going to be some change, but probably not if she passed away recently. And I'm certainly sorry to hear that. You know, the cost basis would have been adjusted as of the date of death. So you probably don't have a whole lot of taxes to pay once they're sold. Did this come to you? Were these in a taxable account, or is this an inherited retirement account or an IRA?
It's when my mom passed, she had the stocks written in our three names.
Okay.
Come to us. So is that an inheritance?
Yes, but they weren't held inside of a retirement account, as far as you know.
No, they weren't.
Okay, all right.
She didn't even know she had them at first.
Got it. Yeah, the only taxes that would be due would be based on the sale and whether or not you had a profit from the date of death, because that's your new basis. And then at that point, once you pay that capital gains, which for most folks, it would be 15% on any profit, which it would probably be very small, then, you know, you have the ability to do whatever you want with it. And I think at that point, I would take a step back and just say, what are my priorities as a believer, as a Christ follower? And just as I look at my financial life and ask God to give me wisdom, certainly one of the things I would consider would be shoring up your emergency fund. If you haven't already done that, of having 3 to 6 months liquid savings, I would look at being able to pay off consumer debt. If you have credit cards or maybe a car loan outstanding, being generous with a portion of this money as the Lord leads would be another opportunity. You mentioned getting it into a retirement plan. You wouldn't be able to put it into a 401k at work. That has to come through salary deferral, but you could fund our Roth IRA, which would be a great option to put this aside. But you don't need to worry about doing it to save taxes, because as I say, there shouldn't really be a whole lot if she passed recently.
Okay. Yes, it was last month.
Yeah. So there's probably very minimal change. I mean, maybe the stock market has rallied slightly, but you also may find that you sold these at a loss. They may be lower than her date of death. And so that would be what you would want to look at. And you'll want to check with your CPA to make sure you handle that appropriately. But it sounds like you're in good shape here, which gives you an opportunity, Jenny, just to take a step back and ask the Lord to give you some wisdom. You've got, you know, $10,000 here that, you know, perhaps was unexpected. So you want to use that in light of your values and priorities, and really ask the Lord to direct you as you make that decision. I hope that's helpful to you. Again, sorry to hear of your mom's passing, and we appreciate you being a part of the program today. Well, folks, in just a moment, we're going to take a break, but we've got some great questions coming up. We'll be with Ron in Missouri, James is in Texas, Richard in Michigan, Andy in Dallas. We're coming your way just around the corner. We've got one line open for your calls and questions today on faith and finance. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You know, as we think about our role as stewards of God's money, we want to go back to the source, that is God's Word, and apply His wisdom to our financial decisions and choices. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
At times, we're painfully short-sighted. But God has a much bigger plan for you than simply surviving one more day. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress challenges us to choose the extraordinary life by choosing to be all in for God. We'll also learn why God also allows us to go through periods of waiting in life. Listen all this week to Pathway to Victory.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia, and I'm a faithful listener.
Wherever you are, however you listen, we'd love to hear your AFR story.
I now believe, I actually do believe in Christ, and I'm just so grateful.
Call 877-876-8893 and give us a minute or two about AFR in your life. Have we encouraged your faith? Have we taught you something? Call today so we can do the same for others. That's 877-876-8893.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Here's a money management principle for you. The longer term your perspective, the better decision you will make today. That's right. When we can look out, we can make decisions to make short-term sacrifices because we're pursuing a goal further out that really aligns with who we are and who God has created us to be, aligned with our values and priorities as believers, but with a long perspective. We're always going to make a better decision when we have that. 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance. To Michigan we go. Richard, thanks for your patience, sir. Go ahead.
Well, hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So if a friend or family member, you know, someone you can't say no to, wants to borrow money, you could always go to the cosigner and let them cosign for your loan and then give them the money with the idea that they are going to make the payments, because the loaner will always revert back to the cosigner. And if they're cosigning for their own loan that you're borrowing and give it to them, it would be their responsibility. Does that make sense to you?
I'm not sure I'm totally following you there. So are you the person that is needing to borrow the money, or are you the person that's cosigning in your example?
No, I would loan the money to someone who you can't say no to. And then that person would cosign for my loan and make the payments.
I see.
And because then, the lender will always go to the cosigner, and if they're cosigning for their own loan and making the payments, if they don't make the payments, the lender will go to the cosigner.
Yeah, I guess the thing that I'm tripping up on a little bit is you said you'd go ahead and give them the money, so you're going to make the loan. And then you're also going to co-sign against them. So if they take the money you've given them and they don't make good on those payments, you're now going to have to step in again and pay it twice.
No. I borrow the money, give it to them.
Oh, you're borrowing.
They co-sign for my loan.
I see.
Yes. Yeah. They co-sign for my loan.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the thing that I certainly understand where you're going now, that helped to clarify. You know, the Bible is pretty clear that we shouldn't co-sign, and we see that play out every day in just the data. You know, the Federal Trade Commission says in nearly 40% or more of the time when you co-sign for someone, they will end up not making the payments timely, and you will have to step in 40%+ of the time. And that you would understand why that is if they can't qualify on their own and they need a cosigner, that would say that they're just not in a financial position to be able to take on the loan. And I think we ought to look at that and see that as perhaps a warning that this person doesn't need to be borrowing that money. And that's why I think the Bible is very clear. Often there's principles around finance. This is not one of those cases. The Bible just clearly says, don't do it. And so I think the opportunity here, if you do co-sign with someone, is to say on the front end, if you are unable to pay, I am ready, willing, and able to step in and make those payments. And so that way there's not going to be a damaged relationship there. Or perhaps, as Ray, an earlier caller, suggested on the program, perhaps I ought to just give them the gift outright and make it a gift, or at least be ready to make it a gift if they're unable to pay at any point down the road. But I think we need to be careful in this area of co-signing. The Bible is very clear about it, and I think we've got to stay on our guard and heed that counsel. Great thought, though, Richard. I certainly understand where you're going with that, and we appreciate you being a part of the program today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today. To Dallas. Hi, Andy. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Fantastic. Well, I wanted to reach out today because my wife and I, we have about 150K in the bank right now between a savings account and a business account. And, you know, with everything going on in the banking system that I've been hearing about lately, I'm just kind of wondering what we should be doing with this money. The only debt that we really have right now is our home, our family home, and some rental properties. All the credit cards are paid off, all the student debt is paid off, and yeah, really, I'm just looking for some suggestions and advice on what to be doing with this.
Well, it sounds like you're doing things right here, Andy. I mean, I love the fact that you know, you're building your wealth in a diversified way across multiple asset classes, including real property. You've got a family home. You've got some rental properties. You're completely out of consumer debt. That's tremendous. I assume, you know, you've got, well, you mentioned you've got $150,000 in liquid savings between your personal savings and the business. So I think that's good. Are you also building wealth in a tax deferred retirement account as well?
Yes, we do. My wife has a Roth. I have a Roth. And then we have just a regular brokerage account as well.
Okay. Yeah. So that's great. You're actively funding those Roths, and that's going to build money that's going to grow tax-free. Obviously want to look at opportunities to be generous as well along the way as the Lord leads. I don't think there's any change you need to make here. I mean, what is your primary question? With you mentioned the banking system and the $150,000, are you sensing you need to get that out of the banks?
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing I would say there is, where are you going to put it? I mean, so you could put it under the mattress. The problem is with 40-year high inflation, you're losing purchasing power on that money rapidly. I think certainly there's a lot of lessons we can take away from Silicon Valley Bank, and this is just the latest evidence of the fact that uncertainty is certain. That will always be with us in a fallen world, and we need to trust the Lord as our provider, but I think we just need to make the wise decision as we manage God's money. You know, clearly one of the takeaways here is that the system is frail and you know, panic can spread quickly. We could talk about the series of mistakes the Fed and the government has made over a long time economically with easy money and just manipulation of risk levels through artificially suppressed interest rates. And, you know, I would have loved if we could have allowed the market forces to work this out with a bank failure related to a very specific high growth sector that's being affected by high inflation. And yet the government stepped in and provided the backstop. And I think because of all the mistakes we've made, they were kind of in a position where they needed to shore up confidence in the system, because the last thing we would need would be a run on the banks. And as a result of their action, it did exactly what they intended. That's why the market, you know, has rallied since this happened. That's why you're not seeing people, you know, pulling their money out. And not only did they provide a backstop with the FDIC through the $250,000 in coverage, but in this case, with these failed banks, they've even gone beyond that to ensure all of the deposits to make sure everybody has ready access to their funds and is made whole. And that's really the intent behind FDIC. So I think, you know, this this should give some confidence that if you have an amount under that $250,000, the FDIC is going to work the way it intended to. At least it did in this case. Now, we could talk about longer term issues. We actually did a broadcast yesterday just on the plausibility of a debt crisis here in this country. I don't think that's on the in the near term. I think that's much longer term. So for me, I would say right now, based on everything I know today, I'd leave that money right where it is. I'd take advantage of higher yields that are available. And I'd be confident that at least through this most recent example, folks were protected and still have access to their money. So pulling it out and, you know, sticking it under your mattress, I just don't think, is going to play out in your favor, given what's going on with inflation and the loss of your purchasing power. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. So stay on the line. We'll talk just a bit more after this break. We'll be right back.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions. We've got room for maybe one more, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Andy in Dallas. He and his wife have managed God's money really well. They've got some rental properties, $150,000 in savings, no consumer debt. And he's concerned that perhaps, you know, the bank is not the best place for his $150,000 in light of recent events. Andy, as I was sharing before the break, I still think based on everything we know today, here in the United States with the strongest and largest economy in the world, despite the mistakes I believe we have made along the way and the challenges we have down the road, I think today the banking system is solid just based on the full faith and credit of the United States government being willing to step in, as was demonstrated over this last week with those being protected and getting access to their funds, even with a very specific situation related to a certain sector of the economy that was high growth, relied on easy money and low interest rates to make payroll for startup technology companies that are losing money. And so I think what we saw was an isolated event. But as a result of that, we're going to see a lot more scrutiny on the balance sheets of these banks that are holding a lot of treasuries that have lost a lot of money as a result of the rapid increase in interest rates, which is one of the byproducts of all of the Fed action. Nevertheless, the government stepped in and provided a backstop, and we could argue whether or not that was a good decision. Regardless of where you come out on that, clearly it shored up confidence in the system. But give me your thoughts on what I've shared.
Well, I think you're right. I think they did shore up confidence, but in a way, I feel like it's just something that's going to push inflation higher and higher. You know, and I don't know if I'm correct there, but you mentioned before the break about inflation just eating up our buying power. And that's another real concern that I've got because, you know, what's the point of having this money in the bank if it could potentially be worthless in you know, in some extreme scenarios?
Yeah.
That's my main concern, and whether I should put it to work or sit on it, I guess.
Yeah, and therein lies the challenge that the Fed has right now because of this long-term fiscal policy that we're dealing with the effects of, easy money, suppressed interest rates, and therefore, you know, high inflation that has come in without the pro-growth policies that really are necessary, some still with us, some not, as a result of the current administration and fiscal philosophy that's currently occupies Washington. I think we're not following a biblical model. You know, we were created to be workers. Mm-hmm. We were created to value human life and productivity, and we were to be fruitful and multiply. And there's a virtuous cycle of productivity and economic expansion and generosity that keeps risk levels low because we were doing what we were created to do, which is to take God's creation and order it and improve it and grow it. Mm-hmm. And that virtuous cycle gets broken when the government steps in and occupies a place that was intended for God to occupy and tries to artificially manipulate the system. And we're dealing with the violation of those principles right now. And that's why, as a result of high inflation, the Fed is having to raise interest rates so dramatically to try to curb inflation, which clearly it's doing. I mean, we got another reading today and, you know, it was what it was expected, but it's still sky high. And, you know, even though it's dropping, the challenge is it's going to be a bit painful to get it back to anywhere close to where it needs to be, around 2 or 3%, because we're going to have to live with these high interest rates. And there's going to be some fallout for that. And we saw a piece of that last Thursday. So I think we clearly want to put our money to work. We want to grow it. The alternative to investing in the U.S. is not good because we're, you know, the strongest and best economy in the world. You know, I think international will perform well, and it certainly has over the last year. I think it will continue to outperform here in the near term. So we should be diversified. I still think for our short-term money, being in a high-yield FDIC-insured account is the place to be today. And ultimately, we need to trust God and not the government as our provider. But in that, we've got to make wise and shrewd decisions along the way. And there may come a time where we say things are looking in the near term very bad, and we need to make some difficult decisions. I just don't think we're at that point today. And so I think we stay the course and apply biblical truth.
Well, I love it. I love it. My wife told me exactly what you said, that I'm probably thinking more about the government rather than God. And I'm just so grateful that I was able to hear this program today on my way to work.
Well, thanks, Andy. I appreciate that. And I think it also underscores the reason we need to show up and vote, because we need to understand the philosophy of those that are making decisions on our behalves in Washington, and make sure they understand a biblical worldview of economics and money and productivity. But we appreciate you being a part of the program, sir. God bless you. To Missouri. Hey, Ron, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you for your program and what you do.
Thank you.
Last fall, my wife had to get a new vehicle. Her previous one died. And I kind of thought unfortunate time, because she actually retired last November. She owned a house, and it was recently sold it. We closed on it yesterday. So we're kind of wondering, I think the current balance on the car loan is about $14,400. She got about $24,400 proceeds from the house sale. And we're thinking, I know there were discussions about co-signing earlier. I wound up co-signing on the car loan because she'd been a good girl and paid off all her debts. And it had evidently been long enough that her credit score just got like reset to zero, you know?
Yeah.
So we're wondering, whether to take some of the money from the sale of the house and just pay off the car loan, or would it be better to just continue on with monthly payments if it would help to rebuild her credit history?
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword here, Ron. I appreciate that. I mean, you know, when you follow biblical wisdom and get out of debt, you're not necessarily rewarded in the current credit system based on the way the algorithms are determined to give you a credit score, which is all based on your likelihood to repay as agreed. And they've come up with a formula to determine that. A lot of it has to do with, you know, your current on-time payments, your credit mix, your credit utilization, and all of those are affected adversely if you are out of debt completely. So I understand that. I wouldn't pay a dime of interest for the purposes of building my credit. You just don't have to. So I would absolutely, and if you've got an emergency fund and you're giving it the level you want and you're out of consumer debt, I would absolutely pay off this car. I wouldn't pay any interest, only for the purpose of building your credit. If you want to build her credit, one of the ways to do that would be to add her as an authorized user to one of your accounts. Whether she uses the account or not, as long as you're an on-time payer, she'll inherit that good credit history. You could have her open a secured credit card. So she could put, let's say, $300 on deposit with a bank that's going to issue a credit card against it with a limit of $300. So they're fully collateralized. Let's say there's a recurring charge every month. It's budgeted. You all are planning to spend it every month. It hits that card. It could be very small. She pays it off in full. And guess what? She's now reported as an on-time payer to the credit bureaus every month with a very low credit utilization because it could be a very small charge. Those types of things will allow her to build credit without you spending a dime in interest. So I think bottom line is I'd pay off that loan. Thanks for your call today. James in Texas. James, you've been waiting patiently for a long time. Go ahead.
I disagree with the premise that the banking industry is isolated to these banks. And let me be clear to your callers: there's only one money in the face of earth, and that's gold. Bible speaks of it. There is no substitute. What you have in what people have in their bank accounts, stocks, options, is fiat. It's debt based.
Yeah,
it's 100% debt. So as an investor, why would you hold it appreciating, you know, supposed money? The government is telling you they're going to devalue your currency. Let's be clear. The bubble is in the bond market, ladies and gentlemen. It is a massive bomb that's sitting in the bond market. It's in the quadrillions. And the reason why these banks are failing, now, mind you, SVB Bank had 60% of its portfolio in treasuries, U.S. treasuries.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Right, long term. So how it works is that when rates rise, those bonds become worthless.
That's right.
And the Federal Reserve is going to have to pivot. They have no choice. They can't fight inflation and they can't bail out the system. And when the government tells you that they're going to give SVB Bank $25 billion, they're going to tax the other banks are going to pass it on to the consumer in transaction fees. It's always passed on to the consumer. So let's not be, you know, fooled or diluted to thinking that cash is good. Cash is trash. Yes, you need some to survive. But ultimately, your net worth should be in physical, tangible assets that you can touch that doesn't have counterparty risk. And there's only one money, and that's gold.
Yeah. So Americans, thanks for that, James.
Wise be wise.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you weighing in on that. I would disagree slightly in the sense that I agree with you about the value of gold. I wish we were still on the gold system as opposed to a fiat currency system backed by the full faith and credit as opposed to real tangible assets. I think the challenge with going exclusively gold is we're highly concentrated. It doesn't offer any income. It's difficult to use as a means of exchange, and there's risk with safety and dealer premiums on the buy and the sell. So I think based on where we are today, having a ownership, a stake in a real company through stock ownership is still a better way to build wealth. It has a better track record, lower volatility, and I think having a properly diversified portfolio wins in the end. But James, I certainly appreciate you weighing in on the program, my friend. Thanks for being a part of it. Perhaps we can pick up this conversation when we have more time to unpack it. God bless you. Folks, thanks for being along with us today on Faith and Finance. Let me say thanks to my team today, Robert Sutherland, Devin Patrick, and Pat Montague. Couldn't do it without them. Hope you have a great rest of the day. Remember, God owns it all. You're a steward, and money's a tool to accomplish His purposes. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.